Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
And that's how we start hour number two here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage in for Tommy here today. Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joins us on the IHOP hotline and on our video stream on 12 News Connected. Dan, welcome in. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling like I got Christmas early this year. This has just been a crazy ride, hasn't it? I mean, we're sitting here undefeated, and I can't explain why.
So I can't either. And now the Buccaneers are going to be without their top two pass catchers when the Chiefs play them in a couple weeks. But it's hard, Dan. The Chiefs Kingdom sometimes can be very aggressive, I'll call it. Anytime that you point out realities, sometimes it's offense taken. And so when I look at it and I watched the Ravens last night, for me, it's like, okay, let's project into the future. If those two teams play in the postseason, how do you think it goes? I'd still think the Chiefs are a good matchup, but boy, it's a lot tough. Different than it was in week one, right? Yeah. Since then, the Chiefs don't have Isaiah Pacheco. They don't have Rashi Rice. They don't have Juju Smith-Schuster. They don't have Jalen Watson. All of those things are piling up on them. And the Ravens are clicking, have become one of the best run defenses in football, right? Derrick Henry has found a groove. Lamar Jackson looks like the MVP again. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be, and I don't think the Chiefs are doing this, but I think some fans are just saying everything's fine no matter what. It would be foolish to not try to get better in the next 2 weeks for the Chiefs. They've just had too many injuries.
Yeah, if you told me in the beginning of the season that we were going to be dealing with a lack of receivers, quality receivers, I was, man, we're overloaded. Our quiver is completely full, and yet it seems like every week we lose one or two of those, you know, important facets. The Watson thing was really sad too, in that he's just playing so well, and you know. But the one thing I would point out there, Jacob, too, excuse me, is that. You know, likely, and because I watched that Ravens game last night and was like, wow, who's beating that team, right? We're not going to play them again until the end of the season. And right. Some of those guys will get back. Not all of them, right? But some of those guys will get back. Hopefully, we'll be in a better shape because I'm not sure the Chiefs have enough right now in the tank to go out and beat that team because they look like they were just hitting on all cylinders.
Well, and the Chiefs have three games on them, so it's probably being played in Arrowhead. So that matters too, but that doesn't mean the Chiefs shouldn't try to get better, and I think that they can, and I don't think it'll be anything major, but we look at it. Mahomes leads the league in interceptions, I think largely because he's having to press a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he isn't having a good year. Kelce is, you know, statistically speaking, his pass catcher, exactly, probably his worst start, you know, since he's been the guy. So, like, all of that stuff matters. And I don't think there's anything wrong with realizing 6-0 could just as easily be 3-3.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth overlooking the fact that they started last year 6-1, right? And then lost 4 of 6. So just there's no reason to get apathetic here. If the Chiefs can get better, they got to get better.
Yeah, you know, and I just knowing Brett Veach, you know he's on that phone. I mean, the next 2 weeks are going to be interesting. I hope they go and do something that's more substantial than, like, say, bringing MVS back. That just doesn't make sense to me. And
I think he's signed with Darius. The Saints or something. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what happened to Jerick McKinnon because he's just sitting out there. But I do feel like you're right. They need to do something. I mean, we're in an unexpected position, and just because we didn't expect to have to need receiver talent doesn't mean we shouldn't go get it, because where we're at is where we're at. And we know Rice isn't coming back, you know, no matter how deep we go in the playoffs. So there's a hole right there you have to fill. And hopefully this thing with Juju won't last too long. But
it's soft tissue, man.
I know. That's the worst part about it. You were absolutely right. You know, Bones, like with Pacheco, that's a really, you know, dependable recovery schedule. Soft tissue stuff, high ankle sprains, hamstrings, groin injuries. Those things just seem to linger on and on and on. And hopefully not the case, but when you watched him come off the field the other night, or the other day in San Francisco, it looked like it was a little bit painful. And so we'll see what happens.
You know, one of the things, Dan, that I'm fascinated with, and you brought it up briefly just a few moments ago, and that is the Travis Kelce situation. You know, a lot of people are wondering, why is he not having the year that he's had in the past? I mean, we all know he's turned 35 years old. I got a question. Are the Chiefs, is this by on purpose? Is there a method to their madness where maybe they're not going to wear him out? Maybe they're going to try to keep him fresh. Maybe they're going to try to, you know, keep him from situations where he may, you know, get one of those nagging injuries. What is the behind the scenes situation with Travis Kelce and his production on this football team?
You know, Paul, and this is Dan Israel speaking. I can't speak for Coach Reed or Coach Nagy, but I feel like a little bit of both. I feel like they kind of started this season saying, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to feature these other guys until teams stop double and triple teaming Travis Kelce. And now they're in a situation where teams can still double team him. I haven't seen the film completely from the 49ers game, but I know in the beginning of the game, he had two guys on him for quite a bit. And so, you know, I think with his age, he's just not able to beat that double team as easily as he used to be. Now, I don't want to say he's done. He's spent, because I think if you saw him do the little shimmy shake thing the other day and get a first down. And so he's still got that stuff in him. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think if we could get to a point, what Jacob just said, if they go out and they go get talent and they can actually draw away the double team from him, we might see a reemergence of Travis Kelce. But that's kind of, I think, what the plan was, is to say, look, let's feature these other guys until they can't afford to say we're going to spend two men or three men on one guy. And it just unfortunately hasn't worked out well. I do think Xavier Worthy needs to sit with maybe some of these guys. You know, I mean, Rice may not be able to play on the field, but somebody needs to talk with him and say, here's how you use your speed. Mecole Hardman would be a good guy to do that with, you know, to sit down and say, how do I use my speed to my advantage? Because we're seeing a lot of rookie things out of Xavier Worthy. I think there's a lot of potential there, but he's just a young kid.
Yeah. And I also don't think, Dan, that he's going to be stylistically what the offense needs the most, which is what Rashee Rice does and or Juju Smith-Schuster does. The last 2 years of this offense, we've seen that role be the critical role for Mahomes. I don't think that's ever going to be Worthy. I just don't think that's what he is. So, and I don't know that that's out there either. I don't know that they can go get it. Another position of need pretty clearly is left tackle. But don't you think they're sort of just going to have to go through the growing pit? Teams don't trade left tackles. Like, you're just going to have to grow.
You have to draft. You have to draft or grow one. I'm still not giving up on Kingsley, but I thought Wanye struggled mightily in the first half, but then he finally kind of started to figure out Nick Bosa. And I thought he did much better in the second half than he did the first. But yeah, that left tackle, man, you know, I'll just never forget the Super Bowl 55 performance in how different Mahomes looked and how panicked he looked. And look, is that physical difference or is that mental difference? I think it's both. You know, I think who doesn't feel that anxiety when you know I can't see what's behind me? And I always liken it to when I was a young man, I decided I was going to jump out of an airplane you know, you sit in jump school and it's like, man, this is going to be so fun. And then you get up there and you step to the edge of the plane and go, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And so there's no way to get comfortable with that. Right. And so I kind of liken that to the left tackle situation. But one of these guys has to grow and get better, and they've got to do something, because you're right. You're not going to go out in free agency and get a good left tackle.
Yeah. You look at the American Football Conference right now and you think to yourself, you know, Baltimore and Kansas City are to me the class of this particular conference. But you know, you got the Bills, you got the Steelers, you got Houston, for goodness sakes. And maybe then pick another team. I mean, maybe you throw in a team like maybe the Colts or somebody like that. But you look at this right now, it's obvious to me that those are the two class teams, the Ravens and the Chiefs. What's that other team to you right now that you would think to yourself, you know, that team has a shot at winning the conference championship?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I would have said probably before, you know, that the Titans are gone. I think their window is closed, and I think the Bills will probably be there in the end. But it is maybe the Steelers. You know, I know Tua is going to come back here and make a run at this thing, and I'm sure the Dolphins will be better with him under center. But will they be good enough? And is the hole too big? I think so. I can't see them winning the conference at this point. But I feel like I can't underestimate Tomlin. I just think he's a great coach, and that organization has been just steadily winning for 40 years. I mean, it's something else. And so I probably worry a little about them, but I feel like the Ravens are definitely the problem for us at this point. You know, we may stumble with the Bills. We may stumble with a couple of these teams down the road. That Christmas Day game, that's going to be a big one. And I'll tell you what, I hope it's different than last year's Christmas Day game.
That was peak panic, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Christmas Day. So Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joining us. Next time you see Mitch, you tell him, I apologize for doubting him that the defense would be better than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
It is. We'll see with Jalen Watson out, but it certainly has been. And that cures what ails you, right? If Pittsburgh winning for 40 years has taught us anything, it's that if you've got a good defense, you've got a chance. And the Chiefs have as good a defense as there is. Can that continue without Watson? I know the other young corners have looked pretty good. But you know, that clearly is the strength of this team.
I'm fascinated by the whole situation. I got a big hug from Steve Spagnuolo in the locker room, and I'm like, man, it's just unbelievable how you lose a rookie in Watson, or, you know, you lose Watson, and then these two rookies, Roland Wallace and Malik, it's like, what's going on here, man? These guys are catching balls. They're intercepting balls. We just wanted them to not screw up, you know, when they're out there making plays. And so I think it's fascinating. And look, guys, you know, the whole phrase next man up, it's just so overused. It drives me crazy. It's so overused. And yet with the Kansas City Chiefs, you really have to respect the quality and depth of coaching, because we're talking about positional coaches. Look, I think we'd all agree, you know, if the three of us sat down at dinner, it would be very easy to agree. Steve Spagnuolo is a freaking genius. That's all there is to it.
There's a masterclass on
something. It is. It really is. And to watch him and to watch the way he disguises things is just fascinating. It really, for football fans, Chiefs fans who are kind of X's and O's guys, and you're getting into the offense and you're kind of frustrated with the offense, you know what? Start studying the defense, because it is a masterclass. You're absolutely right. But the depth of coaching, and look, it starts at the top. I get it. It starts with Steve Spagnuolo. But the defensive line coach, the linebackers coach, the cornerbacks coach, they've got these guys ready to play. And it's just fascinating to watch. And I'll also throw in here, too, something I think is really unique with this team. I can't speak to 31 other teams. I have not covered them. But I can speak to prior Chiefs teams going back 35 years. The one other facet about this whole next man up philosophy that works for the Kansas City Chiefs is the players themselves are engaged. Nick Bolton is engaged in having his backup ready to step in for him. And I think that's an unusual characteristic.
Wow, that is. But that's what championship teams do. So that's a tremendous thing. You know, Jacob and I earlier in the show were talking a little bit, and I made the comment that I am so impressed. I can't remember in a long, long time a player that has had a bigger effect on his team. And when you have a good football team and you have an effect on that team in the entire league, and that is Derrick Henry. I am simply amazed at
the season and the new
year as he's having. And I made the comment, and I thought Jacob was going to hop all over me. I says, I'm not so sure that he is an MVP at this point. Talk a little about how do you know a guy who's in his 30s, a running back position, you know, the wear and tear these guys have over the years on their bodies. How do you know a Derrick Henry makes the impact on the Ravens the way they did? I'm telling you right now, if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, it's because of Derrick Henry.
Well, first of all, Harbaugh has to call his number, but absolutely, Paul. I mean, I watched last night and I turned to my girlfriend and I said, that is not a 30-year-old.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but that is not the way 30-year-olds run.
Right.
I mean, he literally was running away from the pack, and he's such an impressive. I did an interview with him a couple of years ago. I think it was Super Bowl 54, maybe.
Right.
And I mean, it was one of these where you know, I come up to about his midway through his chest, and he's just a huge individual and a very thick individual. You know, I mean, just top to bottom, and yet to have that kind of speed and to be that agile, he's a freak. He is a freak. He very much reminds me of like an Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald was so little, and people said, you know, I don't know that he's going to really be that good in this league. And yet he is, you know, and he was. So I think Henry is, I don't know when we're going to see the end of that, because I really thought, you know, running backs just don't turn 30. They retire. And he's amazing. And if he stays healthy, he will be an issue for the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. I have no doubt, Paul, you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, that's why they drafted him. I mean, that's why they traded for him and acquired him. And because they thought he could make a difference to their game. And man, has he. And, you know, I got to throw in here, though, because Jacob kind of mentioned it earlier. Lamar Jackson is playing the role, the traditional role of quarterback, where he stays in the pocket and delivers an accurate pass to a level that I didn't think he was capable of doing. And him doing that and Henry, it's a tough combination.
With more pass catchers, I think, than Lamar's ever had, too. He is one of the great stories at that position, how he's reinvented himself already several times in his career. He's awesome. Let's look ahead, Dan, to the Raiders. It's hard to find any reason why this game would be of any concern. This is a team that beat the Ravens, though. You know, kind of any given Sunday. I don't know. They don't have Devontae Adams now. They're all kinds of banged up. Who knows who's going to play quarterback for them anymore? It's hard to find a reason to be concerned this week at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of those games where the Chiefs would have to beat themselves. I don't think the Raiders can do it alone. But as you mentioned, those days can happen. I think that Coach Reed is about as good at preparing a team in these situations as I've ever seen. And I think that's why they've had the level of success in our division for so long. And but you're on the road. You know, you go out there. And granted, it's not – you know, that stadium's going to be half full of Raiders fans, half full of Chiefs fans. I think that's just one of the curses that any team that had gone would go into Las Vegas. You got to understand that when the schedules come out, the fans of your opponents look at the schedule and say, hey, the Chiefs are going to play the Raiders on October, whatever. And I'm buying tickets and we're going to spend the week out there. I mean, that's right. It's a vacation destination. So I think that's something they'll always have to deal with. But it's definitely difficult to travel. You know, I'm just not talking about playing in a hostile environment because the fans are loud. You have to go out and you have to travel. And, you know, you get home. We got home. Gosh, I think I rolled into my house at maybe 2 a.m. from San Francisco. And now just a few days later, we're going to get set to go fly back out. And so you got back-to-back home games. There's a lot to deal with. And you've got the injuries that are dealing with the Chiefs. They're going to have to make those adjustments, and they're going to have to do it in the 3 days of practice. There's a lot here. So can the Raiders beat the Chiefs? Sure. Sure, they could. Do I think they will? Not really. I mean, I just feel like, you know, it would have to be a global meltdown. You'd have to see it dripping out of the sides of your television, I think, more really to be one of those games. And knock on wood, that won't happen.
You know, this is the same thing that our conversation that we're having is kind of unique because it's kind of what Jake and I were talking about earlier in the first hour of the show, and it's kind of interesting. But, you know, we haven't had very many mentions in our conversation with you the name Patrick Mahomes, have we? I find that fascinating because there seems to be other things that are taking our attention away from having the best player in the NFL on your team. And we've not said the name Patrick Mahomes. I'd like to take this opportunity and just give you a minute or two and mention the name of Patrick Mahomes. Whatever comes to the top of your head, Dan, the floor is yours. Patrick Mahomes, go.
You know, Paul, it's an excellent point because Mahomes, I think, threw for like 154 yards. I think he was, let's just look. He was 16 to 27. That's not Patrick Mahomes.
No,
that is not Patrick Mahomes. Yet his quarterback rating was 44.4. Wow. 44. I mean, a guy drops under 60 and you're talking about the bottom of the league. Yet somehow you saw him bust that run. You saw him stop. Let the guy fly by. I told Coach it was like watching Top Gun. I'm going to hit the brakes. He's going to fly right by. And then he goes in and he steps on Mustafa. I mean, that it's like, who is this guy? So he's making a play two or three a game that are helping the team. But that's not very Mahomesian. Mahomes is like a guy making a play every drive. And so I guess for Chiefs fans, the takeaway from that is really about when Mahomes settles in and starts playing like Patrick Mahomes, maybe we'll look as unbeatable as the Ravens did last night.
Wow. It ain't going to be Sunday. I'll bet you they run a Kareem Hunt a boatload.
Yes.
And lean into that defense. Yeah. And we'll just keep watching the trade deadline. I would have said they get to stack themselves up against the Buccaneers right before the deadline, but the Buccaneers, that was just a brutal night for them last night. So we'll see. We'll see if they add anything. We'll see if the Raiders find a way to give them any trouble, but it is hard to find a way and see it. It should be a nice week for the Chiefs, Dan. We appreciate it. Enjoy the week here, and we'll just have our eyes on Brett Veach. Ball's in his court now. We'll see if he does it.
Yeah, come on, Brett. We need something to talk about.
Yep, give it to us. Just one guy. Just one.
Just one. That's all we're asking. That's it.
Dan, thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a good week.
There goes Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider. Always appreciate him joining the show. And, of course, you can always hear the Chiefs Radio Network over on KNSS. You'll hear the Chief Kingdom show tonight right here on KFH. That's at 6 o'clock. Great stuff. If you missed any of it, you can go to the Odyssey app and check that out. It's always available for you for free. Always podcast it out. Chad does a great job with that. We're going to come back and we're going to turn the page on football. We've talked all football. What about this WNBA story?
Fascinating. We've got
baseball playoffs starting here pretty quick. There's a lot out there for you that we can get to. On our way out, let's set up our HTO Text to Win contest. You can enter by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. What that will get you is a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from, all kinds of sweet and unsweet delicious iced tea, and some free rain coffee. It is iced. It is hot. It is any way you want it. You can get one of each right now by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Those are good for any of the three Wichita Metro locations. We'll be right back with more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hotline is back open, the IHOP hotline, where you can celebrate the weekday's new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here. Thanks to Dan Israel for hopping on with us there, top of the hour. Talk a little Chiefs. We've talked a lot of Chiefs as the Ravens make a statement last night, fire a salvo, and the Chiefs are 6-0, and maybe they don't care, but we'll see. Paul, this WNBA story is interesting. I'm trying to get caught up and educated on it because I think it's very multi-layered and complicated. But what's happened is they finish up the New York Liberty, win the title, and you get through all that, is the players are opting out of their collective bargaining agreement. and they are doing it early. It would go into effect until this next season. So they've got a full year to figure this out. The timing, it makes sense. You know, a lot of times I wonder if the timing is right to do these sorts of things. Whenever we see bargaining go sideways, there are times where I think the timing is very fortuitous for the workers. And there are times where I'm like, ooh, things aren't going so well. Maybe now's not the time. Now feels like the time for the WNBA. What's really interesting about it is, as the players are looking to get a better deal, and they will, is that the WNBA is expected to lose $50 million in 2024, a five-fold increase, according to the Washington Post, over what they normally lose as a league, which is $10 million. Now, you'd hear that, and you'd say, oh, man, the WNBA is failing. Not so fast. We do know that attendance records were in the books this year, largely around Caitlin Clark. We know viewership records were recorded this year, largely around Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is the cash cow. We've all known that. And Angel Reese, to some degree. So now what you'll have, and why I think this is such good timing for the players, is the WNBA has got to get its media rights deal figured out. Sportspromedia.com estimates that they could, and this is according to that Washington Post article, actually, they're just regurgitating it, but they could be in line to triple their annual rights deal in the next cycle. The WNBA could. So it's like that in business. If you're early on, right? You're early on in it. And they're not early on in the WNBA, but it's early in this new evolution, I should say, of it. Do you go all in then to build it up for the future? And almost always the answer to that is, of course you do. All the betting sites, Paul, all the money they hemorrhaged and all the marketing they did was for long-term growth, right? You go big in the beginning and then you cut it back later. That's the opportunity the WNBA has right now with Caitlin Clark and this newfound fan base and all of these things. You've got to go all in on that now. And that's sort of what the players are doing. They're going all in. And all I wonder, Paul, if all those players who are, you know, trying to teach Caitlin Clark a lesson right now are happy she's in the WNBA.
Right. Well, I'm with you on that. Yeah, that's a good question, Jacob. Very good question. And I'm basing what I know about this whole deal off of what was posted off of ESPN today. And evidently, Jacob, the league has recently entered into that to an 11-year media deal, 11-year media rights deal with Disney, with Prime, Amazon Prime, and NBC. For $200 million a year. That's $200 million a year for 11 years. So I think that's a done deal, at least according to ESPN. And you're right. This is not a coincidence that the league says, okay. Or I should say, not the league, but the Players Association. Well, I think it's time. We have, what, $2 billion? Or $1 billion about to come in, $2 billion about to come in. It's time to renegotiate what we're going to make because this is guaranteed money. $200 million a year on TV rights just with those three networks. So it all makes sense. But, you know, I wonder if I'm on the board of directors for Disney or Amazon Prime or NBC and I see this deal in particular, I'm thinking to myself, is it wise to get involved with a league that is – personality driven, not personalities. One personality.
I think that's a little unfair. Caitlin Clark has sparked the growth. Okay. No doubt about
no
it.
No doubt.
But I think, and this is why we kept saying, and like, why isn't she in the Olympics? You have to let that growth fall in love with everything else that's happening. Angel Reese was a star too. Even if it's as the villain, still has drawn, and she got hurt and all those things. I think you have to still bet on the product that you're able to put out. And that game five was not good by all accounts of people that were locked into it. It wasn't like a it just was kind of sloppy, whatever. But game four was great. I watched the end of that one. So I don't know. Like, I think that they have to, like, if you're not going to go all in with Caitlin Clark there, you can't go all in only on Caitlin Clark. You have to go all in with Caitlin Clark, right? You have to let her bring everything up and try to take advantage of it. And I think that's what they'll do. I think, you know, initially when I saw this, I was like, ooh, that's a little risky. I know the league just lost a bunch of money.
That's right.
But I also am seeing now that the vast and wide expectation is they're about to finally be able to make some money and project some money into the future. They're expanding by most accounts. The league will grow. Who's the next Caitlin Clark? Because that is very possible, right? That we get the next great college star that the country falls in love with the growth of women's college basketball. That's, I mean, just exploding right now. Who's that next star?
Probably, or
who
Juju are those Smith, next stars? I'm guessing Juju Smith.
Well, but that's what I mean.
Out of USC, so
you're
guessing.
Also, so it's not all Caitlin Clark is the growth, right? But the projections into the future can't be all Caitlin Clark, or it's probably not a very good investment, right? It's an investment for however long her career lasts. I think you're betting on the growth of the sport, and that's that grassroots growth that we've seen in the college game continues to translate up, and that'll be good. So hopefully it works out. I'll bet you this isn't, well, I shouldn't say that. Most of these things get pretty contentious. I hope that it's not. I hope that what I hope doesn't happen, Paul, and I'm afraid of this, and I think it probably will, is that this, instead of, you know, the conversation about the great growth and everything that's happened, it'll become this debate again of hard, you know, for whatever reason, people that just have to get out there that, oh, nobody's watching or anything, even though more people watch than ever before. Proof is in the pudding. And then we get this debate of like, well, it's not worth it. That's crazy. Too much money. Nobody watch. Like, let's put all that aside. Let the business people handle the business stuff. I just hope it doesn't turn into that conversation. And the conversations continue to be around the great young players that have infused a new energy into the league.
I assure you it's going to turn that way. And this is going to turn ugly.
It already is that way for a lot of people.
Well, it's going to get even worse. And here's why. You're not going to get rich playing in the WNBA. You're not.
Well, that's what they're trying to change.
They're trying to change it. And that's where this league is. I mean, the WNBA players, they look at the NBA and think to themselves, you know, good players are getting $100 million. You know, did I say great players? No, I said good players are getting $100 million for a 3 or 4 year contract. And WNBA, I read an article with regards to Reeks. We were talking about her just a second ago, Angela Reeks, and she's really complaining. I guess her salary, a rookie salary is what, somewhere around $75,000-$80,000 for a year. And where she lives, her salary isn't covering her rent. Her rent's $8,000 a month, $96,000 a year, $8,000 rent in a lot of cities, by the way, Jacob. I know that sounds like a lot here in Wichita, Kansas, but there are cities in the United States, and most of them
rent is not $8,000 a month.
They quoted it. That's what.
Then now, live somewhere else. Now,
she's probably living above her means, and she can't. Well, on. she made $1.8 million in NIL last year. She banked that. So she's got some money. She made $1.8 million, according to this article, last year. So, but with that being said, still a salary of
$7 a month.
That's what it was. The article was quoted.
Then find a different place.
Her total lease is $96,000 a year where she lives right now. But the point is that. These young ladies, and I believe they have some right to a better salary, and I think it's going to happen. I think you're going to see that going up because the league's going to be taking in a whole lot of money with TV rights that they didn't have before. And so a $10 million loss is going to turn into, what, $30, $40 million a year profit for the league. I can see that happening. But this is fascinating. And, of course, I'm still fascinated about the whole thing because – this is basically driven by one person. I worry, Jacob, about anything that's driven by one personality. You know, the NFL loves Patrick Mahomes, But he's not the only guy in that league that you know that could drive the NFL.
Well, look, if you're a media rights company, you're betting that it won't be about that, right? If you're willing to pay up for it, you're betting that it won't be just. Now it is right now.
It is right now. Yes, that is correct.
But you're betting that it won't be forever, and I would say that's a pretty decent bet.
Yeah, and they're not be forever. Those aren't dumb people, are they? Those people, they understand. They're not going to say, yeah, we'll give you $200 million a year for the next 11 years, unless they're pretty sure. I think I'm speaking right when it comes to media company. You would know more about that than me because you deal with media
companies. Well, they make bad deals just like anybody else. I mean, there's certainly risk in it. Don't get it wrong. There is risk in it. But I would say this. Like, for the players, the risk in the media rights deal is on the media rights company. I think the one thing that's almost certain to get better for the league too is in venue attendance, right? That would be the place where I would guess the growth continues to happen even more so than TV. Paul, like outside of the NFL, there isn't anything that everybody's watching. Nothing. It's the NFL and nothing else is even close to it. Not college football, not the NBA, not Major League Baseball, not college basketball. There's nothing like the NFL. And sometimes I think it's like this World Series. Everyone, oh, the ratings are going to be record high. Yeah,
they're
in two massive media markets.
Right. But there's history on that too.
But that's not like that doesn't speak to the strength of the sport.
Oh, well.
Right? What speaks to the strength of the sport are butts in the seats and the collection of ratings from everything, right? So I think for the WNBA, it's as much for the players anyway. It's as much about they're opting out because they know more people are watching and paying attention. They know and can see what's happening with Caitlin Clark. They know how many fans are being created bring their families to a basketball game. And they get to make money that way too. Like the teams, the media rights deal for the teams. But, you know, attendance matters. And I think that's an area of growth for the league too. So players probably making the right call, if I had to say one way or the other. I think the timing is fine. I think they'll get a better deal, and so will the WNBA, and hopefully the growth continues. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get a little teaser, a little taste of the Sunflower Showdown with Mr. Savage. KU gets a big needed win. Could anything come of that? Could they be a real test for K-State this weekend? They probably can. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. Zachary chimes in on YouTube about the Buccaneers onside kicks. He calls them probably the best consecutive kicks he's ever seen. They missed the second try. Actually flipped over by that point to the other game, Chargers and Cardinals. But it's funny on these new rules, the onside kicks. We've seen several converted, I think, and maybe not as bad as we thought. But appreciate the comment there, Zach. Paul, the Sunflower Showdowns this week, and we'll get much more into this game throughout the week here. We'll have Shreyas on tomorrow. We'll have Fitz on Thursday. Look, if KU plays that way offensively, I think they're dangerous, very dangerous, quite frankly. I don't know what's happened to them defensively, but I do think we could get a very entertaining Sunflower Showdown this weekend. And I don't think that K-State should... And fans, quite frankly, feel like this is a foregone conclusion. KU has looked much better offensively the last two times we've seen them play.
Well, I look at the University of Kansas, and you mentioned their defense. And quite frankly, the first half of the season, their defense was probably the best part of their...
At least the first few games, I agree.
Yeah, but the problem is that what I saw coming with the University of Kansas was it seems like in every game, even from the very beginning, and I don't mean Lindenwood, I'm not talking about then, I'm talking about from there on, but it always seems like that the defense gave up one or two possessions that were long, took forever, held the ball forever. You know, that kind of couldn't get him out and get the offense onto the field and get the defense off. Could not do that. And that's what has worried me. I just looked it up. I wanted to see what the latest line was. 10.5 points. K-State giving 10.5. Man, that doesn't seem right, does it? 10.5 over under, by the way, is 55.5.
Over. You, what do you think about that 10.5 point line?
I don't know. I doesn't see it. I think I would take K-State at this point because I don't trust Kansas. I do not trust them. I got stuck too many times earlier in the year on our Friday football picks. I took Kansas too many times. I don't think they're the team we think they are. Now,
no, I don't either. It's hard not to take K-State. Look, there's no way I'm taking KU at K-State in our picks and or anything like that. But that doesn't also mean that this can't be a really dangerous game for K-State, because I think it can be.
It can, yes. No, it definitely can.
I think Jalen Daniels is finally beginning to look good again. And if you've got that in combination with talented running backs, and we know they have talented receivers, it's really going to test the K-State defense. Like, this will be, to me, as good a test against that K-State defense as they faced. If the KU offense is clicking, you can, you know, right there with Colorado's offense, I think, and maybe even more versatile than Colorado's offense. Like, if you've got the best version of it, that's a real test. Now, KU also has to stop K-State.
Right.
And K-State's offense, I think, is the best in the Big 12.
Right.
And so that's where you get into it. Like, I'm not going to do it. But I do think that KU has at least given us hope that this will be an entertaining game. And who knows? And I don't like, I'm very glad that KU is playing better football. Now I'm also scared, though, because I really want to see one of them end up in the college football playoff. Well, and K-State's obviously the team with that chance.
That's so it's the only one. Yeah.
Well, now what? Right? Like, now what do we, you know, it'll be a great, I know KU fans want to beat K-State so badly, but we all, you know, all the rest of us are like, I just kind of want K-State to get in. So it is a little worrisome if you're a K-State fan, but we'll talk about it. I don't think super worrisome, but I think certainly more than it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Hopefully KU finishes strong. Such a bummer. But it would certainly help if they finish the year strong. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And as Shreyas has told us before, Jalen Daniels does have a year of eligibility left. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, the rust, if it was all rust, the rust appears to be gone.
I sense a little bit of worry from you with regards.
I am a little worried, and I don't know why. I am. Like, it's creeping in for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like an itch.
I sense that. Now, I guess the obvious question is at this point, who you got right now as the Big 12 representative in the big dance. I guess it's BYU, isn't it? I don't believe it's going to be Iowa State.
It's going to be hard for it not to be BYU.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too. It's going to be...
They'll beat Iowa State. So it would be hard to imagine BYU's chance to lose that game against Oklahoma State. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll tell you what's on the network today when we return on Sports Day.